if...
Jeez Louise.
You're welcome. There's that's payback for 1,000 years of foul burps
that dragon
in
breath?
My direction from the fan.
How dare you? I've never belched. I am a lady.
Welcome to the Six Demon Bag Podcast, where we pull random topics related to writing, comics, movies, all that kind of thing.
Hey guys, this is Ed. I write various fictions, horror, science fiction.
I'm Jeff. I write science fiction and horror.
I'm Drew. I'm a gamer and anime fan.
This is Ryan, and to my right is a special guest this evening, Mr. Elliot McMillan.
Hello. My name is Elliot. I am a guy who watches sports on TV, yells at my TV, throws things at my TV, and then laments that I broke my TV.
Bad dates.
Quote, bad date stories.
Well, there's two bad date stories I could tell. There's the worst first date I ever had, and there's the worst night of my life, which was prom.
Didn't you vomit?
No, I don't vomit in either. No, so which one do you want to hear?
The
worst night of my life or the first date?
You've been teasing this prom story for 12 episodes
now. I need the prom story.
You gotta have it.
All right, the prom story. The worst night of my life. Even still, at 41 years old, still the worst night of my life.
It was
until
a dark
tonight.
And stormy night.
So I couldn't go with the girl I wanted to go with because I was a pussy and I wouldn't ask her and she found somebody else. But I wound up going with a friend who it turns out later I found out was married at the time to a Marine who was off, doing Marine things, which I didn't know about. But I asked my aunt and uncle if I could drive their Mercedes-Benz to prom, right? And we took pictures posing on the fucking hood like it was, Mob Deep and all kinds of shit. And it was a convertible. I mean, it was a really cool fucking car to go to prom with when you're in high school. So, like, I got in this car in my electric blue tuxedo with black lapels. I looked badass. Had my cummerbund and all that shit. And my date. And we get in there, and I drive there, and I got to the parking lot. And the car was plainly... I was too large to be driving this car. It was too small. My legs were, like, all bunched up in there and everything. So I'm pulling into the parking spot, and there was the little mat on the ground curled up between the accelerator and the brake. So my foot fumbled over it, and I hit the accelerator instead of the brake, and I drove up, this car just roared, like, up, like a James Bond jump into the frickin' grass where there was a forklift parked.
Oh, jeez.
And the forklift, the car skewered itself on the end of the forklift.
No, they had their prom at a construction site, apparently.
Impossible.
So the tines of the forklift just ripped into the front of the car and, like, punctured the grill, right? And so then I tried to back up and rip the whole front end of the car off. This is my uncle's car.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And it's a lease. So that's how I get to prom. That's the first thing I do. So I go into prom, and I'm feeling, like, just miserable, like, pale and drawn, sick to my stomach. My cummerbund's falling off. I don't know how to fucking put it back on. So I ask for the chicken, and I swear to God I get food poisoning off the chicken. Either it's a combination of, like, uncooked chicken and just my roiling stomach because I had to call my, mom and tell her, you got to tell Aunt Vicky and Uncle Jim I wrecked the car. I don't know how we're going to get home and shit. Uncle Jim's going to have to come and get the freaking car.
There's still the forklift. You could have taken that.
Well, at least it was secure on the end of the forklift. It wasn't going anywhere. So then I just spend most of the prom laying outside in the lobby on the couch, sick to my stomach with my creative writing teacher. Saying, you really don't deserve this and all this.
Describe what you're feeling, Ed.
Just utter nausea. Like, the world is going to... Like, you're in the chopping block. And you know how P. Diddy must have felt in Monster's Ball walking down the end of the last mile to his execution? You know, and he pukes right before, like, Heath Ledger picks him up and stuff.
No, Heath Ledger pukes.
Right.
You fucked up that man's last walk.
Right, right. So actually I felt like Heath Ledger in Monsters Ball, I guess. Like, I'm going to go home and be executed is what I'm thinking and everything. So I'm sick through the whole prom, but we got to find a way to get home, and I use my money that I've got, you know, whatever cash I have saved for prom, I use to buy into a friend's limo. So I get my date and myself into this limo. All I want to do is go home, but they want to go to Chicago and drive all around the city all night and all this kind of stuff. So I'm stuck, you know, just feeling miserable in this fucking limo. And then I'm in the back of the limo, and I realize the windows don't go down. At the same time, I realize I'm mildly claustrophobic. So I'm sweating now, like, really bad.
Call back to Ed being locked in the trunk of his father's car.
Right, because my dad locked me in the trunk of his car as a joke once. But anyway, so I got in. I had to go in the back and roll open the moonroof, sunroof, whatever, and sit under that because I'm sweating like buckets. And so we're out all night in Chicago, and all I want to do is go home, and I'm feeling miserable and all this. And everybody goes ice skating. They got an ice skating rink somehow, like Rocky. You know, they're going around on skates. I don't even want to fucking do this. I'm just sitting on the sidelines. I'm miserable. My date has got to be miserable. Poor Elaine Chung. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she's
if she's
married.
Listening, I know she's not, but she's married now. She's still married. What am I saying?
She
same guy.
Same guy?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow.
Anyway,
Semper Fi,
Semper Fi, always faithful. But so it ends up though. Me, I'm the first one that wants to go home. So it ends up, of course, that I'm the last one to be dropped off. It's just me and the limo driver. And the limo driver listens to this story that I told him about. He's like, "You don't look like you're having a good time." So I tell him the whole story, and he's like, "Wow, that's fucked up, buddy," and all this. And so he drops me off 3-4 in the morning, whatever it is. And so we get these commemorative wine glasses, right? Full of, like, candy or something. You know, that's what they gave us in senior year and everything. So I fumble with the lock at 3, 4 in the morning, whatever, stumble into the kitchen, looking for the light switch. I drop this fucking wine glass on the ground on the kitchen floor, and it shatters as nothing has ever shattered, you know? Like the crystal cracked, you know? Worse than that, just completely shattered all over the fucking kitchen floor. And the light comes on. Mom's on the other end of the kitchen. She flicks the light on and she's looking at me like, just so sad and everything for me.
Aww.
And I'm like, "Mom, I'm just going to go to bed." And I wander out of the kitchen and I went to bed. And it was absolutely miserable. And the next day I had to go and take the fucking car to my uncle. And my uncle has yelled at me in the past and everything, right? You know, so I'm used to rage and stuff from people. But he comes out of the house, and he takes one look at the front end of his car, and he throws up his hands, and he goes, "Well, no reason looking at it." And he walks back in the house without another word, and that's when I knew that he was really fucking mad for the first time.
And that was the sound of your inheritance being torn up.
Yep. Smashing like a commemorative prom glass on the fucking kitchen floor.
Like a car against the tines of a forklift.
Oh,
miserable.
Like undercooked chicken in the belly of an Ertelac.
Burbling.
Oh no. Ertelating.
Yep. So that was it. That was the worst date. Technically a date. Worst night of my entire life to this day.
I went to prom in a Subaru, but at least we got it home in one piece.
Yeah, my prom itself was fine, but we tried to go to the after party. We couldn't quite get in, and then our limo broke down somewhere in, like, South L.A., and then the police came and pretty much had us all get out of the limo. Well, not the girls, but us guys, especially, like, my friend Henry, who pretty much was wearing a tank top at the time because he took off his dress shirt, so...
Was it a mesh tank top?
Wait, the cops hassled you? Why?
Our
no,
limo.
Boy, look at it.
Is it because you were black in a limo?
Well, we were black and brown, so
it is suspicious.
And so my friend Henry, he had his gang tattoo showing through his tank top, and so the police had him frisked and up against the car, and it was like up against the limo, and that was it was an interesting night that ended with pancakes at IHOP.
As most interesting nights do.
That's how most prom nights
do. Yeah.
Pancakes at dinner.
So.
How most unfair police shakedowns end.
Well, after we dropped our dates off, we basically went and ate breakfast alone.
Oh.
So
that means you have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a, man,
Yeah.
That really brought me down.
Well, I mean, we kind of had a feeling that things were going too well at prom. So we're like, yeah, this can't last.
Karma had to balance.
Had to drop,
yeah.
At least you kind of got felt up by the police.
Well, no, they basically had the light on in my eyes, and they're like, get back in the limo. I'm like, oh, okay. But our friend Henry.
True, they could tell you were soft. But not a gang tattoo on
But our friend Henry, they had to pull him out, put cuffs on him, while they, like, did something, like, call someone or run something to try to find out if there were any warrants on him. And then they eventually let him go. So that whole thing took, like, more than a half hour. So. No, but we were still waiting for, like, the tow truck to come and take the limo, and even then we were like, okay, so the tow truck's coming for the limo, but who's coming for us?
Wait, the limo got towed? Why? What happened to the limo driver?
It broke down.
Oh, it broke down. I'm sorry. I faded a little bit.
Yes.
And then they frisked you and such, which is pretty shitty.
But then the next day, and keep in mind, not many of us have gotten any sleep, we try to go to Magic Mountain, and so my friend's cousin, she drops us off at Magic Mountain, and she leaves. And keep in mind, this is in the 90s, so none of us have cell phones. And that's when we realized we forgot our money.
You had beepers, though.
After we ate breakfast, we tried to get a little bit of rest, and we ended up forgetting it. And so we were there. Well, we eventually got into the park, and this part may have to be cut out, but
Ensuring it will not be cut.
Drew strangled a teenager working at the front gate. Oh,
we,
sir, I'm going to need to see your wrist.
Well,
band.
We were able to scrape together enough and panhandle the rest to get one of us in the park.
Let's just say a hasty blowjob was given in the parking lot.
And so one of us was able, because the plan was to get our hand stamped and then try to rub the mark off on each other's hand. That didn't quite work, but the girl that was waving people in through the gate, she looked like she really couldn't care less and just waved us all in. And so since none of us else had a stamp on our hand that could be really seen very clearly, we decided not to leave the park until it was time for our ride to come and pick us up. That was interesting.
Why? That needs to be cut.
Yeah,
man.
I thought
that was going to be a lot worse.
I don't think the Magic Mountain authorities are going to come kicking in your door.
10 years ago, you know.
Actually, 20.
Statute of limitations on Magic Mountains. I think we're clear.
That's what I was going to say. There's no statute of limitations on Magic Mountain.
You fucking rebel.
Cut to pounding on door. Drew, we know you're in there.
Come out, Weary.
Finally.
Come out with your hands up.
Show us. Come out with your stamp up.
You owe us $18.
MMPD.
May have cost less back then since it was in the 90s.
Jesus Christ, you don't want to mess with these assholes.
They steal theme parks.
They're going to throw a flashbang grenade into your window.
Pow!
Get on the ground!
Fireworks, though.
They will find your corpse under the Batman ride.
Oh, you know what? I got one where me and I talk to you guys all the time about Malika. Me and Malika went out. It was an afternoon. We used to go in the afternoon all the time.
Hey, Malika was a really good guy, and I'm tired of dragging his name through the mud all the time.
But we went to the movies in Culver City, and there's a Rally's on Venice.
Oh, yeah,
and
I know
that
one.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's have lunch at Rally's.
It's self-explanatory.
I'm sitting in the Bone Collector, quivering because I have horrible diarrhea. Terrible. And the
Bone
Collector's going on, and Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie and Malika sitting next to me, and I am just sweating profusely because I have diarrhea. Now, I have to take this girl home from Culver City all the way to Inglewood, all the way to, like, the Bottoms in Inglewood. If you know Inglewood, you know where the Bottoms are.
If you have diarrhea, you know where the Bottoms are.
I was about to find the Bottom. So, finally, I'm like, the movie ends. I'm like, come on, let's go. We got to get out of here. We got to hustle back to the car. We got to get out of here. So, I'm jamming down every side street I can to avoid traffic. On the 105, weaving in and out of lanes.
Thomas Guide on your lap.
I finally get her home. All right, bye.
I was hoping she would say, "Do you want to come in?"
No, because if I had come in, it would have just been like, "Yeah, can I use your bathroom?"
Mm. Oh man, that reminds me of another bad date. But anyway, go ahead.
I think.
So, I mean, yeah. The good news is I did make it home, but the bad news is my time with Malika was ruined.
Yeah.
Because of rallies on Venice. Rallies on Venice, if you're listening, you suck. This happened back when the Bone Collector was in theater. So what year was that? 97?
Statute of limitations.
Yeah, no, there is no statute of limitations for doing diarrhea.
Rallies PD!
You know what the funniest part of this story is? When you said, "I'm sitting in the Bone Collector," I thought it was some kind of slang I hadn't heard.
I'm laid up in the Bone Collector in the cut with Malika.
Oh, I got the Bone Collector real bad.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, man, I'm laid up in the Bone Collector.
I'm laid to the side, Slim.
Yeah.
Mofo. Put a leg into the bone. Jack me up. Tape me.
Yeah, I think I
No, I was referring to the Bone Collector.
Yeah, I
all right, but from this day forth, the Bone Collector refers to gut-wrenching diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, Jack, I thought the Bone Collector.
Because a bad meal moves through you. A really bad meal takes bones with it.
Thing you've seen.
Again, I figured Elliot may have seen some terrible things.
No doubt.
I've seen some terrible things.
The Bone Collector.
It's been one of
constant joy
and, yeah,
and happiness.
But I went to I went to an XFL football game.
Enough said.
next topic.
The end. And the game was in San Francisco at AT&T Park, which is ordinarily a lovely park. And it was a Sunday, it was a nice day. But there was a toilet that someone must have had a personal vendetta against.
Bone Collector?
It was the Bone Collector, it was the...
Kiss the Girls?
Yeah. It was Silence of the Lambs, it was everything.
It was seven. It was seven in that toilet.
I got, like, most of the worst things I've seen are toilet related, like even worse than the AT&T Park. Worse, the someone decided it would be wise to defecate in a urinal.
No.
And I would go around, and there was already like a few drops of excrement on the floor.
Oh.
And I said, "What is that?" And I turned the corner to go to my normal stall, and it was just filled with feces.
What's that in your pants? Oh, it's human feces.
So I stopped for a second and said, "Someone took a shit in the urinal." And so I quickly went to the next one because I had to go. And the whole time I'm pushing, like, I gotta get out of here. And I'm wiping my hands.
Why
like,
you gotta get out of there? What's gonna
because
happen?
I don't want
you don't want to be the blamed. Yeah.
And say, "Hey man, why'd you sit in the urinal?" It's like, "What, me?"
This has to do with my bad date story, actually. But go ahead.
So that, I mean, I've seen people with, I was telling Ed about people with their ankles broken. Blood. I saw a guy with his finger cut and blood shooting out. I've seen guts. I've seen that kind of stuff. But
I've seen some bad things.
I've seen bad things. I'm like a Vietnam vet. I never left Los Angeles. But the worst thing is,
that's what we want.
Feces in a toilet. There's nothing that you will see that will shock you more than feces in a urinal.
I know that Ed has a related story, and Drew, I think, has a related story. But before I forget, because I do that, related story, side bag, side six demon. I was working on the front desk at this company once, and a guy came in to, like, have a meeting or whatever, and he went to the bathroom, and he came back, you know, pale, and he said, "Somebody pooped in the sink."
Would that somebody be you, sir?
Or something along those lines.
Oh, wow. You made him sound so traumatized.
So,
he was like,
you,
so
so withered from that. And then he handed back the key.
Did he swoon afterwards?
That kind of thing just doesn't happen here.
Poop.
So I had to be the one to call maintenance and say, "Hey, man, it seems like somebody pooped in the sink." And so I get maintenance. You know, they're gonna come out. And so I, of course, like I didn't want to, or did I? I had to go and see for myself. So I went into the bathroom, and there was no poop in the sink.
What the fuck?
So either that guy was playing a particularly weird prank on me.
That guy robbed the place blind.
Some weird phantom pooper came in, pooped in the sink, and then
phantom cleaner
cleaned up the evidence of his crimes. To this day, there is no
poop in that sink.
There is no.
You could have.
There is no solve for that case. What was the word I'm looking for?
No solution.
There's no closure.
No closure.
You could have CSI go into that scene.
Yeah.
And all of their tests.
A little blue light.
But till this day, there are tales that the random ghost poop still appears.
Ghost pooper.
What happened to that guy? Did he take? Was he gone when you came back?
He went and had his meeting, and I don't know. Maybe
he robbed somebody. That was his fucking. That was his big play. Somebody pooped in the something. I don't know. He went up there while you were left your desk, and he
there
fucking
was nothing to rob.
He pulled some shit. I don't know what. But
yeah, he pulled some shit out of the sink.
Well, I'm sure the maintenance guy was happy to not find it there.
Yeah, really.
You know what? I'd be pissed.
I got a long way up
here for feces, and there's nothing. Somebody better put some poop in the sink.
I got my hazmat suit on and everything.
The janitor just put it in the urinal.
Yeah. Why do I even come in?
So, side bag. To your side bag, Ryan. Oh, we're two side bags deep. So you're talking about your ghostly pooper. I once worked at a gym that had a mystery pooper. Mm. So there was...
Is that worse or better than a mystery masturbator?
Well, a ghost poop. A ghost pooper, ghost poop disappears at dawn, so that's not a big deal. the problem with the mystery pooper was there was a mysterious figure that was pooping in the showers at the gym.
Oh.
And so they would just try to walk.
That guy's going to spider hell for sure.
Hell yeah. He's going to feces hell. That's
not, but that's heaven for him.
No, that's rallies.
He's got a career in fetish porn coming.
So, Bone Collector Part 7. So, I worked at a gym, and there was a mystery pooper on the prowl. And occasionally we would get word that someone had pooped in the showers. And I also worked with a very excitable trainer named Nick. And so to set the stage, there's a mystery pooper at large who has not yet been caught. And Nick runs up and is like, "We got him! We got the guy! Come on, let's go!" I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Bro, come on. We're going to go charge him right now. We're going to get him before he escapes." I'm like, wait, what?
We're going to get him
before he escapes.
Yeah, so.
We're going to get him before he pinches, bro.
Yeah. So Nick takes off headlong like a firefighter charging the World Trade Center, going into the bathroom. And on the one hand, I want to be like, I don't want the drama. I don't want to see a mystery pooper. I don't want to be involved with mystery pooper. But also, like, my coworker is literally charging headlong, with the exception, like, "Follow me!" And with the expectation that I'm going to back him up. So I'm like, "Oh, this sucks." And so I run into the bathroom behind him reluctantly, thinking we are there to confront who else? The mystery pooper. But instead, it was this weird guy in the men's sauna. And there was some other unrelated issue about someone who was sabotaging the thermostat in the sauna. And it was this guy who really liked to get a sweat on, which, good for him, except he was wearing these tighty whities that he'd completely soaked through with sweat.
God.
And so we're standing there in the sauna confronting this glistening man in see-through, soaked tighty-whities. And like, "We know what you did." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what you did." And I'm looking around for a mystery pooper. And Luckily.
So another unsolved mystery.
Another unsolved mystery.
Just like the masturbator at
the
theater.
These are our cold cases that we have to solve somehow. There's no evidence, though.
We've got to turn to the Magic Mountain PD to solve these cold cases.
It's funny that all of the worst things that we've seen have been
poop-related.
Like,
there's a reason.
Haven't we seen dead people? Haven't we seen...
I told my dead people story last time.
I saw a lady get...
Too depressing,
get thrown from a car in a car accident.
There's nothing funny about a dead person, but
she wasn't
poop
dead.
Is always going to be funny.
She wasn't dead, but she was hurt. Huh. And it wasn't funny. Normally I would laugh. But
no,
it wasn't
I
funny.
Actually did laugh at Ed's dead body story, but that's because I'm a monster.
I never heard it.
To be fair, the corpse had its pants down.
Yeah.
Well, you just got to listen to the podcast.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-dum.
Find us at sixdemonbagpodcast.com, sixdemonbagpodcast@gmail.com, Facebook and Instagram, and on Twitter at sixdemonpodcast. Special thanks to Colleen Green for the use of her song, Why Do You Call Me, off the Green One album.
This is Ed. If you want to find more about me, you can look up my blog, emertilek.wordpress.com, Delirium Tremens, or Facebook. I'm there all the time.
This is Jeff. You can find more at Carter Wrote It on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Drew. You can find me on Twitter at GenFactor.
You can find me, Ryan, on YouTube at 20th Century RG with the number 20.
Hey, it's Elliot. You can find me on Facebook. I guess Elliot McMillan. That's it.